It's Ian Pickus, and we're back in the Congressional Corner today with U.S. Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, a Democrat in office since 2013 after serving in the House. Senator Murphy, it's been since April that we had you on the show. Has anything happened since then?
It's all quiet on the Western Front. We got a little bit to talk about today.
That's right. Let's start on the latest news, which is that as we speak, there's a deal to keep the government open, which will punt things until after the election and December. What's your thought on the agreement?
Well, my thought is that it's an absolute tragedy that we have, these clowns in charge of the House of Representatives. I don't know what happened to the Republican Party. I mourn the fact that we no longer have Republicans who want to govern. The Republicans that control the House of Representatives literally ran for Congress to try to destroy government from the inside. So they have sat on the sidelines. They were prepared to let the government shut down. And luckily, a small handful of Republicans in the House, along with Democrats, have come to an agreement that will allow the government to stay open and operating for the next few months. After this election, hopefully, these arsonists, these MAGA Republicans won't be in charge of the House of Representatives, and we'll be able to get to a point where we're not perpetually facing government shutdown. So I'm glad, but, this is just a symptom of what ails American politics today, a Republican Party that has kind of become unmoored from, substance and ideas, and that has consequences for our ability to govern the country.
Do you think that the election outcome, whatever it is, will take the heat down enough to do some longer term budgeting the way it used to happen?
I hope so. I mean, listen, I think at some point we probably have to do what Connecticut does. Connecticut does biennial budgeting. That means they pass one budget for 2 years. They can make adjustments if they want during that two-year period, but they only have to pass a full budget once every 2 years. I think that'd be a good idea for the federal government. First of all, it'd force you to do a little bit more long-term planning. And second, I just think we have to recognize that we're always on the precipice of one of these shutdowns, and the whole economy would be better off if we had to go through that once every 2 years instead of once a year. So I'll be pushing for that in the next Congress. And I think there is some interest from both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, to look at some of those process reforms.
Now, because you raised it, it's obviously a very close election year. And you say Democrats would do things differently if they had control. So how would it be different in terms of this, important area of Congress's work, which is keeping the government funded?
Democrats just want to keep the government funded. Republicans don't. I mean, that's kind of the essential difference. Again, there's a difference between the Senate Republicans that tend to be a little bit more reasonable and the House Republicans who are, in it for the celebrity and think that their job is just booking cable news appearances and getting lots of clicks and likes online. If Democrats are in charge of the House of Representatives, they're just going to do work. The other thing that happens when Democrats are in charge is that we get bipartisan compromise. Since this crazy group of Republicans took control of the House of Representatives, we haven't done anything in a bipartisan way because they refuse to work with Democrats on anything. Back when Democrats were in charge of the House and the Senate, we did tremendous amounts of bipartisan work. We passed the historic gun bill, which has caused gun violence rates in this country to go down by 20%. That was bipartisan. We passed the CHIPS Act, which is rebuilding the microchip industry in the United States. That was bipartisan. The infrastructure bill, which is allowing us to rebuild Connecticut. We're building new bridges, rail lines, roads. That was bipartisan. So when Democrats are in charge, we really prioritize bipartisan work. Yes, occasionally there are a couple things that pass with just Democratic votes, but the vast majority of our priorities are done with Republicans. The problem is when Republicans are in charge, they see it as like, an abandonment of the Republican faith to ever work with a Democrat. And that's just not how people in Connecticut think. People in Connecticut, they support me because I'm a Democrat, but they want me to work with Republicans. They want me to compromise. And if Democrats win back control of the House and keep control of the Senate, I'm certain that will be our priority.
It's what they used to call the Hastert rule at one time. So you just named a number of priorities that President Biden and his allies in Congress were able to get through this term. Given that, why is the election so close?
Oh, I think people, you know, are really, really fed up with, you know, an economy that they see as rigged. And Joe Biden has taken steps to unrig the economy, but it is not yet delivered enough for the American people. They're not feeling it in the way that they need to. So, I think Donald Trump's attraction has always been that, you know, he looks and sounds often like somebody who is trying to attack the status quo. But then when he gets power, as we saw when he was president, he unfortunately used his power to just pass more tax breaks and tax cuts for the economic elites, the millionaires, the billionaires, and the corporations. I think this country is, you know, in a sour mood. And when the country's in a sour mood, there's always going to be an instinct to change. That means every incumbent is always going to have to, you know, really fight for their reelection and make it clear that if they get power, they're going to use that power to, you know, to redistribute influence and agency in this country away from people who have a lot of it to people who don't have much of it.
So you served with Tim Walz when he was in the House, and you also served with Kamala Harris when she was in the Senate. For people who are, you know, not into this on a daily or hourly basis the way a lot of political people are, what can you tell us about them, you know, for people who might just be paying attention to those two names for the first time?
Yeah, Tim Walz, if you've seen him on the stump, that is exactly who he is behind closed doors. He, came to Congress as, you know, just a regular guy who had, you know, had enough with the rightward lurch of the Republican Party. He is funny. He's humble. He cares deeply about the country. He's a real patriot. You know, he's risen to the highest levels of American government. He was a congressman, he was a governor, but he has not let any of that go to his head. I always remember him as somebody who cared first about veterans. I mean, that's the profile I remember of Tim Walz. He eventually became the chairman of the Veterans Committee in the House when I served with him. You know, we really looked to him to tell us what we needed to do to protect our veterans. I'll tell you one story about Kamala. She and I have been friends for a long time. After the Parkland shooting, she was the first senator of all 99 to call me. And she said, listen, Chris, what do we do to make sure that these kids have a voice, that this coming election, November, is a decisive election on the issue of guns? And she and I, over the course of the next few weeks, plotted out a strategy to try to help elevate and strengthen the anti-gun violence groups to make sure that those kids from Parkland and kids all around the country had a platform. And she very quietly was maybe, you know, the most active senator behind the scenes in the effort to raise money for anti-gun violence candidates, to help those kids form the group March for Our Lives, to get the gun groups to work better together as we headed into the 2018 election. She never asked for any credit for that. Nobody knows that she was very, very active and instrumental behind the scenes in the pivotal year for the anti-gun violence movement, which was 2018. And so it's just, you know, I think an important thing for people to know that while she has always been someone, you know, with a national profile, some of her most important work has happened while nobody is watching. And what do they say? You know, the true measure of a leader is what you do when no one's watching. And when Kamala Harris is on screen in front of the cameras, she's powerful. She's strong. She's somebody that Americans want to invest in. But when she's behind the scenes and the cameras are off, she's a really capable organizer, somebody that cares deeply about the safety of our kids and has acted on it.
Okay, Senator Murphy, I just have a couple of seconds for this question, but pretend, you know, you're hooked up to a lie detector. You would be looking like a fairly good option for Secretary of State, I would think, if Harris wins. Is that something you've thought about?
No, not really. I mean, I certainly see my name on some of those speculative lists, but, you know, there's two things that have to happen. I need to get reelected. I'm on the ballot this November, and all my focus is on, you know, applying to the people of Connecticut for this job for another term. And then, of course, Kamala Harris has to be elected, so I'm going to be doing a lot of work between now and Election Day to make sure she's the next president. So that's where all of my focus is.
Okay, well, it wasn't a no, close listeners. And when we come back next time, Senator Chris Murphy, let's talk about some foreign policy issues.
Great.